All right. When you guys get home, your parents will ask you how camp was, and some of you will just say, good, right? And then you'll go on with your day, and you won't tell your parents anything. Your parents want to know how camp was. Others of you will say, it was amazing, and you'll tell them about everything you did, spotlight, the blob, archery, crafts, all the things. But there's one more thing that I want you to tell your parents when you get home. I want you to tell them some takeaways from chapel. Okay, so starting now, think back through your notes and for the rest of the week, I want you to think about three things I'm going to tell my parents that I learned in chapel. Three takeaways so that when you go home, your parents say, how was it? You can say, this is what I learned. Three things. Some of you might have 10 things. Some of you might have 20 things. But I hope everybody can think of three things that you learned in chapel to tell your parents when you get home. So that's a little assignment for you. Get you back thinking about school. Get you an assignment. I know school's a long way away. Boo, school. We can boo for school, anybody? All right, yeah, it's summertime. All right, one of the shows that I like to watch is on History Channel. It's called Alone. And the premise of the show is that 10 people are dropped off in the wilderness, like the remote wilderness, like northern Canada, Mongolia, Patagonia, and they are alone. They don't have a camera crew. They just have a GoPro camera and some camera equipment of their own, and they have 10 items, like a tarp, an axe, a saw, some fishing hooks. I mean, they have hardly anything. They're dropped off completely in the remote alone, and they have to figure out how to survive, and the winner, whoever stays the longest, gets $500,000, or sometimes $1 million. And some of them stay for 60, 70, one guy even stayed for 100 days in the wilderness alone. But the two most important things they got to figure out are food and shelter. They got to figure out how to catch fish, how to trap rabbits, how to shoot a moose, how to collect berries, how to eat seaweed, whatever it is, they got to figure out how to get calories in their body to stay alive. And then they have to figure out shelter. Most of the places it's cold and it rains, so they got to get a roof over their heads. But the scariest part of the show is the wild animals. In all of these locations, there are animals like bears and mountain lions and wolverines and wolves. It is scary. So they have to build a shelter. And the first few nights, they haven't had time yet to build their shelter. And so they're sleeping out in the open with just a little tarp over their head. And sometimes there are wild animals right near them. There's one episode where a bear comes right near this guy. If a bear comes near me, I would probably just curl up in a ball and start crying like a baby, and I would become a bear snack, I think. But they make it through. It is super scary, but over time, they build shelters. I'm going to show you a few pictures of some of the shelters that they build on Alone. This one guy chops down all these trees and builds that. You can go to the next one. There he is, a different guy working on a different style of shelter. And the last one, there's another shelter, and you see some caribou antlers there. And these shelters, once they're made, offer security. They're not the most secure buildings in the world, but they have four walls and they have a door. So if bears or wolves or a mountain lion comes, they can shut the door and they can have a sense of protection, of safety. Once they get their shelter and they can live inside there, many of these people actually start to flourish. They make musical instruments. They make checkerboards and play checkers against themselves. They do arts and crafts out of wood. They carve. They have themselves a nice little life, and they kind of flourish abundantly once they have a shelter. But without the shelter, it's scary, and they're at risk. This morning, we're going to be in John chapter 10, and Jesus tells a parable. A parable is a short story to make a point, and in this parable, Jesus says that he is our security. He is our shelter. He is our door that keeps us safe so that we can have joyful, abundant life. So what I want to do is read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, and then make 2 points from the remaining verses. Let's read beginning in John chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." So we got to kind of unpack this parable for just a minute. The first little point here about the parable is that sheep are dumb. Of all the animals out there, sheep are pretty dumb. They win the Dumb Dumb Award for the animal kingdom. Sheep get caught in thorn bushes. Sheep get caught in fences. Sheep get stuck in ravines. Sheep are not very smart animals. Not only that, but sheep are vulnerable. Vulnerable means that they can't really protect themselves from harm. Sheep do not have fangs to go after their predators. Sheep do not have nunchucks. There are no ninja sheep out there to fight off predators. If you see a sheep, it's probably not going to get up on its hind legs and start boxing a wolf. And if you see that, you should video it and put it on YouTube and you'll become famous. But you won't see that. Sheep do not box wolves. If you see a sheep and a wolf, this is what you'll see. A sheep running, a wolf running, and then a lot of blood. That's what happens. Sheep are vulnerable. They need protection. And here's the bad news. In this story, who are the sheep? We are. Jesus isn't trying to be mean. He's just being honest. We are vulnerable. We don't always make the best decisions. We do dumb stuff. We're vulnerable to sin and Satan and temptation and death. We need protection. There are 2 ways in this parable that Jesus offers us protection. One is that he's the shepherd, and we'll talk about that tonight. The other is that he is the pen. The sheep, he calls it the sheepfold. That's the pen, the security, the fencing around the sheep. Shepherds would let their sheep wander on the hills during the day, then at the night they would bring their sheep into the pen so they're safe from predators. And Jesus tells this story to his disciples, and in verse 6 they hear this story and they go, "Huh? We don't understand." Which is kind of funny because Jesus is telling them that they're the sheep and they're acting kind of like dumb sheep right here. So again, Jesus explains what he means in verse 7. Verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Time out. When Jesus says, "I am," what is he saying? I am God. You guys are getting it. I love it. I am the door of the sheep. "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He'll be safe and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus makes this claim, the I am claim, that he is God. And here is the first of two truths we're going to talk about. Truth number one, Jesus is the only access point to salvation. Jesus is the only way into salvation. That word salvation means to be saved, to be made safe. Remember, our threats are sin and death and judgment. And Jesus says, "I make you safe from those threats. You come to me, you believe in me, I will give you safety, salvation. I'll rescue you from those." Jesus is the door. But here's the thing about salvation. This is really important. Jesus is the only door to salvation. He is the only way to be made safe before the throne of God. Remember the other night, he is the only lawyer who pleads on our behalf. There is only one way to salvation, only one door, and his name is Jesus. And you may think, well, why is there only one way? Why aren't there many ways? Why can't there be many doors? Why can't you get to God however you want? Let me let my friend Cece help explain why there's only one way to salvation. Let me introduce you to Cece. Her picture is going to be on the screen behind me. Cece is about 2.5 months old. Her parents go to the church where I'm a pastor. And before Cece was born, the doctors told her mom that she had a rare heart condition, and they told her that she would not be born alive. She would be a stillborn baby. And if she was maybe born alive, she would only be alive for a few minutes because her heart would not work properly. So our church prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and the day came when Cece was born, and there were 14 doctors and nurses around her when she was born to help her stay alive, and she came out and her heart was beating okay. And some of those doctors and nurses that were there didn't need to be there. They did hook her up to some machines, and on the 8th day of her life, she had open heart surgery. You can see maybe just a little bit, there's a little bit of a scar there. She had open heart surgery on the 8th day of her life. And about 60 people from our church gathered outside the hospital to pray, to pray, and to pray. Today she's 2.5 months old, and she's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And just yesterday she had a pacemaker put in her heart that will help her live even longer. It is a miracle what God is doing in her life. So many people are praying for Cece. So many people want to see Cece. But here's the deal. Would it be a good idea for the hospital to say, we know everybody loves Cece, so come on in whenever you want through any door in the hospital. Come on in and see her, Cece. Would that be a good thing? No. All these germs would come in. She's very vulnerable. COVID might come in. Dirty hands might come in. People might come in and cough and see her. That would not be safe for her. So in order to see Cece, your name has to be on a list. And her parents have only put a few people, her family, her pastors, a few people on the list. And you go to the hospital, you check in, you get a special badge that they make. You swipe the badge at one door, you go to another door, you swipe the badge at another door. Then you have to go to a sink, you have to wash your hands in front of the nurses for 2 minutes, all the way up. You have to basically take a shower in the sink for 2 minutes. Scrub, 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 scrub. Then you go to another door, and she's behind glass, and you go in there after that. Why? To keep her safe. Here's the deal. Heaven is perfectly pure. There is no disease, no sin, no sickness, no suffering, no evil in heaven. If God says, hey, everybody, just come on in as you are, what happens to heaven? It's no longer pure because we would bring our sin with us into heaven. That is why Jesus says, I am the door. If you want to get to heaven, you want to get to the Father, you must come through me and me alone, because Jesus Christ is the only one to forgive our sins. As God, he has authority to give forgiveness. And as man, he has the capability to accomplish forgiveness of our sins. He died in our place on the cross. He was buried. He rose from the dead to conquer death. And if we believe in him, we go through the door, we enter the purity and the safety of heaven. That's why Jesus is the only way. He is our access point. He makes us clean for heaven. That's truth number one. Truth number two is this. Jesus wants what is best for us. Jesus wants what is best for us. In this parable, it talks a lot about thieves and robbers. Look at verse 1. It says, thieves try to enter the sheepfold. Verse 7, it says, thieves and robbers have come before Jesus. He's talking about false teachers and false prophets. And again in verse 10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus points out there's a lot of threats to our spiritual life. There are false teachers out there. There's a spirit of the world in the movies we watch, in what our phones are telling us. They're telling us to chase after the bread that perishes, things that don't matter. There's temptation out there. There are bad influences in our schools. Satan is out there tempting and seeking to enslave. There are thieves and robbers out there who do not want what is best for our souls. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and life abundantly. Jesus wants what is best for us. He protects us. Did you know that when the White House was first built, anybody who wanted to could come in and visit? Did you know that? Thomas Jefferson, one of the early presidents, he literally would open up the White House and you come stand in line, you can visit anytime you want. Do you think it's like that still today? No, not at all. I actually got to go to Washington, D.C. this spring, and there were huge barricades pretty far around the White House. Then there's one fence around the whole thing. Then there's another fence beyond that. And on the roof of the White House, there are snipers. There's an Air Force base nearby with a SWAT team that helicopters could come if they need to. All of that is to protect those who live and work in the White House from harm. Jesus is saying, I'm the door. I'm the protector of the pen. And I protect you from sin, Satan, death, temptation. I give you the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation in this world so that you can flourish in the place where you live. So that inside the pen, you can have abundant, joyful life. Jesus wants you and me to have abundant life. Look at verse 10. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly is joyfully. Jesus not only gives us eternal life, he gives us joyful life right in the here and now. Now, your life still may be hard. You may still have trials. But Jesus promises joy as we come to him. There are two main ways that Jesus gives us joy. There are actually thousands of ways, but two ways I want to point out here. Through his word and through his people. Jesus gives us his word, his commands, that we may have joy. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, I have spoken these things that your joy may be full. When your parents give you a command, it's for your joy. Did you know that? When they say, don't run in the street when you're a little kid, it's for your joy, your protection. When they say, don't touch the stove, that's for your joy and your protection. When they say, get the moldy grilled cheese out from underneath your bed, that's for your joy and the cleanliness of your life and your protection. That's to make your life good. Your parents' commands are for your good and your joy. Jesus does the same thing. And in verse 5, he says that his sheep hear his voice. Let me ask you this. Do you know the voice of Jesus? I'm not talking about like how it sounds. I'm saying, do you know the types of things that Jesus says for your good and your joy? Do you recognize his voice? My wife loves to laugh. She has a very distinct and loud and beautiful laugh. And there are times when I can walk into our church or into a gymnasium with many, many people, and I hear her laughing, and I know her laugh. I recognize it. Do you know the laugh of Jesus? Do you recognize the type of things that your Savior would say? The way that you know the voice of Jesus is you dive into his word. You internalize it. You eat his word. You know it. When I was in eighth grade, this is important. When I was in eighth grade, my pastor challenged our youth group to read the Bible every day. He said, I want to challenge you to commit to reading the Bible every day of your life. And that day in eighth grade, I began reading the Bible every day for years. And I didn't miss a day for years. And since then, I've missed a lot of days and life's happened, but I still love to read the Bible. Let me tell you this. That challenge changed my life. Do you want to know why? I learned the voice of Jesus. It wasn't always fun. Like, sometimes I read the Bible, I didn't even know what it meant. Sometimes I read the Bible and started to fall asleep. It wasn't always easy. But if you stick with it day after day after day, you will hear the voice of Jesus. And his voice and his words will bring you joy. Jesus gives us his word for joy. And finally, Jesus gives us joy by giving us his people. Jesus says, I am the door to the sheep pen. Well, once you enter into the pen, guess what you find there? Other sheep. That's called the church. It's called the body of Christ, the family of God. There are no such thing as lone sheep in God's family. You are not alone. You are brought into his flock, into his people. And I know that maybe you've been to church before and sometimes it's a little bit long or sometimes it's a little bit boring or sometimes there are people there that you've been bothered by in some way, just like your siblings may bother you in some way. Those things happen, but the church is a gift. The church is a place where we pray for one another, where we worship together. The church is a place where we share our lives together. I've seen people in my church give thousands of dollars, give vehicles, give places to stay to others in the church when they're in times of need. The church is a place where we have fun together. The church is a place where we grieve together. We don't have to cry alone. The church is where we hold one another accountable. The church is a gift from our shepherd, and it's for our joy. So Jesus says, I am the door. And if you enter through the door by believing in him, you will have abundant life. You will know the voice of the shepherd. You will receive the gift of the body of Christ, the flock. So I ask you this morning, have you entered through the door? Have you found salvation, safety, security from Jesus? And if you have, by believing in Jesus, give thanks today for his word and his church, which he has given so you can have life abundantly. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you offer us salvation, safety, and in the safety of knowing you, we can have abundant, joyful life as we know your word and know your people. And I pray for each soul in here today that you will show your joy that you have given. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.